You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're hearing my voice, you're probably listening to our podcast or a rebroadcast in the evening. That's because our live show, which normally airs at 11 a.m., was preempted by national coverage of Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. So today we're revisiting some of our most interesting and useful conversations from recent shows. Later, we'll talk about a privacy lawsuit against social media giant Facebook that could entitle most Illinois users of the social network to as much as $400. We'll speak with a privacy reporter from the news site Vox and an attorney who brought the class action. But first, every year around this time, we hear messages about the importance of getting the flu vaccine. The flu virus kills tens of thousands of Americans annually and sidelines many more. But this year, the flu is converging with a global pandemic caused by a much deadlier virus, SARS-CoV-2, which causes COVID-19. Last week on the show, we talked about what we know and what we should be doing to protect ourselves from this potential twindemic. It's an important conversation, and from the number of calls and questions we got from listeners, we know you think so too. Since it's still the best time to get a flu shot, according to the CDC, we wanted to revisit that interview today. We're joined now by Chris Brook, an assistant professor of microbiology at the University of Illinois who studies infectious diseases. Chris, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks. Thanks for having me again.
And we're also joined by Dr. Ashish John, who's a pediatrician with Memorial Physician Services in Springfield. Dr. John, welcome to the 21st to you.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Chris, I want to begin with you. In a typical year, when there's not a global pandemic underway, how concerning is the flu virus?
It's very concerning. I mean, we've all kind of come to live with it because it's something we deal with year in, year out. But as you said at the start of the show, it's responsible for, you know, in the neighborhood of tens of thousands of additional deaths in the U.S., as well as tens of billions of dollars in additional economic costs every year in this country. So it's a very significant public health issue.
So as a virologist, I'm imagining that you recommend people get the flu shot every year. But now with the COVID-19 pandemic also upon us, is that message even more urgent?
Yes, exactly. So as you said, every year, I strongly recommend that people get the flu vaccine. I get it. Everyone in my family gets it. It's the best thing we can do to limit the caseload and our chances of contracting flu. And as you said, it's especially important this year as it's running up into this ongoing pandemic we have with another respiratory virus, SARS-CoV-2. So anything we can do to limit the number of respiratory infections that are going into the clinic, the better.
So why is it? What is the concern about having these two viruses working on us? And I should add, you mentioned you get the flu shot. My family and I, we also get the flu shot every year. But what is the particular concern about how these two viruses might work together or in parallel against us this year?
Right. There's a couple of concerns. And the first one is that we still don't really know how these viruses are going to interact with each other. This virus didn't exist in our minds a year ago. And so we're still learning very quickly. And so we don't yet understand what are the implications of being co-infected with both influenza virus and coronavirus. There's some preliminary data that suggests that co-infection with both can increase your chances of severe infection or lethality greater than the sort of additive effect of both. So that suggests that it could be very problematic, but that's very preliminary. We just don't yet know, but that possibility is there, and it's frightening because the last thing we need is another factor to exacerbate the severity of this pandemic.
Dr. Ashish John, you're a pediatrician. I want to bring you into the conversation. There's a survey we found that one in three patients this year in the national poll on children's health said they would not get a flu shot this fall because of COVID-19. Are you concerned about that?
I am. I mean, this season more than any, just like Chris just said, it is imperative that we get, you know, as many people vaccinated against influenza as possible. And the pandemic is, you know, exhausting resources beyond, you know, imagination. And that's before we truly hit sixth season where all these other respiratory viruses come into play. So burdening the system with thousands and thousands of cases of influenza is just going to be, that's going to be truly disastrous. So we really are trying to increase public awareness of the fact that in spite of the pandemic and in spite of, you know, everything else that's going on, we can still safely administer these vaccines, and these vaccines work, and we have seen them work, you know, year after year after year. And the benefit of having that on board and preventing this particular respiratory illness from adding to what is already a huge burden, I think is going to be invaluable this year.
And do you hear the resistance? I mean, this survey, I mean, that's one in three patients, 33%. Do you encounter this in your practice? Do you do
parents? We do. I mean, we've been talking about this for 6 months now. We've kind of been, especially from a pediatric perspective, like, we knew influenza season is coming. It's upon us. Within the next month, we're going to start seeing cases pop back up. Schools are back open. People are out and about. There, you know, some of the restrictions are coming down. So it's inevitable that it's coming. And a lot of it is related to just the same reasons that, you know, people are hesitant to come into the office and see us or come in and get, you know, your physicals done, is they're not quite sure what kind of precautions are being taken and what kind of risk is involved. So a lot of this for the last 6 months has been prepping people that we will be able to do this safely. It does not increase your risk of, you know, contracting COVID-19 by any means. And we can do it in a way that keeps you safe, that at the same time gives them peace of mind that they know they've gotten it safely. And then that way, try and effectively vaccinate as many people as possible in advance before influenza actually starts to show up.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've been hearing from Dr. Ashish John, who's a pediatrician with Memorial Physician Services in Springfield, and Professor Chris Brook, who's a virologist, a professor of microbiology at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. We're talking about the flu vaccine this year. We know you have questions. We got some on our texting group. And Justin in Rockford wanted to ask if any of the major pharmacy groups, Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, and I guess maybe that would extend to physician groups, if you all can answer that question, are considering offering drive-through vaccinations. Dr. John, I wonder if that's something you've heard about?
We actually, I think most of the major medical organizations in town, at least here in Springfield, are actually already offering drive-through vaccinations. Memorial, for example, is run. The first major flu clinic was this past weekend, and we have two more upcoming clinics where we're actually using the state fairgrounds so that way we can get a large number of people. So they had a couple of hundred people show up last weekend, and it went really smoothly. People came in, they drove through, they got their vaccine, and they were in and out, and they didn't even really have to barely exit the car, get back in. So there was minimal exposure. It was outdoors, which was great. So, I mean, those are being done. I'm pretty sure across the strait, but definitely here in Springfield for sure.
Okay. And what about ages of flu vaccines? We've seen that pharmacies now can administer the flu vaccine to children as young as 3, but I think the American Academy of Pediatrics has said they don't agree with that decision. Where are you on children in the flu vaccine and who administers it?
Six months and older, you absolutely can and absolutely should get the flu vaccine. I know pharmacies have, in an effort, I think, to try and make sure we get as many people vaccinated as possible. I know pharmacies have started doing them in younger children. I think infants especially, that should be done in an actual flu clinic at your pediatrician's office or at something that, you know, or at a setting that your physician's office has approved of in some way or the other. But if you have a child that is 6 months or older, we absolutely stress that we should be getting them vaccinated.
Okay. Let's go now to the phones at 800-222-9455. Alan in Decatur, thanks for calling in. Go ahead with your question, please.
Hello. Well, my question is, first the background. Several years ago, I had an allergic reaction to 4 or 5 items that came on all at once, including raw or undercooked eggs. And the flu vaccine is prepared in raw eggs, so I've declined getting the vaccination. I'm 62 years old. Is my opting out wise?
All right. Thanks, Alan. Interesting question. Chris, I don't know if you want to weigh in on that.
Well, for the first part of the question, there are egg-free vaccines available. So there has been a shift from growing the vaccine in eggs, as the caller indicated, into cells within within a lab. And so you should be able to, and Dr. John can speak to this better than I, but you should be able to speak to your clinician and or even at the you know, wherever the vaccine is being administered, and request an egg-free vaccine.
That's absolutely correct. So the way our flu vaccines are currently prepared, we do have certain formulations that are available that have absolutely no egg protein in them whatsoever. The other vaccines that do contain egg protein have a minuscule amount of egg protein that should not cause any sort of an allergic reaction, really, from an egg perspective, at least. So anyone that has an egg allergy, that has anything like hives or less, can get that really done anywhere. You can get your vaccine done anywhere. There's absolutely no contraindication for it. If you have a history of hives or more significant reactions to eggs, then we just say that you get that in your physician's office or in your allergist's office, but it requires no pre-treatment. It doesn't really require anything else. It should be safe across the board for anyone at any age with an egg allergy.
And so then the second part of his question is, opting out of the vaccine wise, I think I would guess what your answer is there, Dr. John.
I would say, based on, and you know, from at least from a pediatric perspective, we have dozens and dozens of patients that have egg allergies that we have safely administered in our office. And I know our allergists in town have helped us with that as well. And they have all done extremely well. So it's not something that we've had an issue with in any way whatsoever. So I would strongly say to speak to your physician, and your physician should say that it's absolutely fine, in which case you can get it done safely.
Okay. Let's take another call now. Sandy in Springfield, you are on the 21st. Welcome. What's your question?
Hi, yes. My question is about the timing of getting the flu shot, because I've heard conflicting answers. Should I get it now? I thought it only had like a 4-month immunity protection, or should I wait till the end of October, early November to get it to last through the flu season?
Okay, Sandy, thanks. Good question. I don't know, Chris, do you want to weigh in on that? Do you have a sense of the timing?
Is there optimal timing? There's no strong evidence that it wanes after 4 months. So it certainly does. It can start to wane after 12 months, but not so rapidly that you should avoid getting it right now. So I would recommend just going ahead and getting it.
We've been saying, you know, we tend to monitor between what the American Academy of Pediatrics and the CDC says is about the optimal time to start administering these vaccines. Now is definitely the best time. The American Academy of Pediatrics has strongly recommended that we try and get vaccinations done for as many people as possible by the end of October. Therefore, you are vaccinated in advance to when the first potential case of influenza shows up. So especially for younger kids, or if you've never had a flu vaccine before, for children, there is a chance that you may need a second dose, in which case ideally we want both of those doses to be done before the end of October, if at all possible.
Oh, how would someone know if they needed that booster or second dose?
So for kids and for adults, this should cover them as well. It's relatively simple. If you are 9 months or 9 years and older, irrespective of whether you've had one or haven't had one before, you only need one dose. If you are under the age of 9 and you have either never had it before or you've only had one dose before, then ideally we give you two doses, and they're supposed to be 4 weeks apart.
Okay, interesting. And so I guess better to get that process started now before the flu season really kicks into higher gear. We did have a question, comment on Twitter, and we need to take a break in about a minute here. So just briefly, Chris, maybe I can ask you about this. Somebody named Paul tweeted us and said that they got the flu injection in one arm and the pneumonia, some sort of pneumonia vaccine, I guess, in the other, before his nurse had even gotten hers. Suggesting that qualification for the pneumonia vaccine should be moved. I'd frankly not even heard of this, Chris. Is this something that's on your radar?
I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, is there a pneumonia? Maybe Dr. John even would be. Is there a pneumonia vaccine people should be looking at as we're confronting COVID-19?
We have a pneumonia vaccine that a lot of people may potentially need a booster on, maybe especially with adults, but the nice thing with the flu vaccine is it can really be given in conjunction with any vaccine. They usually want to do it in two separate sites, so that might be why someone got it on one arm and got it in the other arm. But this is the time of the year, along with, you know, influenza, that the pneumonia part of it becomes something that we're really worried about too, especially because that is an extremely common complication of a bacterial infection that you can get if you do have, you know, influenza, which is a viral infection. It's very commonly...
We need to take a break here. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today's regular live broadcast of the show was preempted by national NPR coverage of the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Amy Coney Barrett. So if you're hearing us now, it's likely in the evening or on our podcast. And we're taking the opportunity to revisit an important conversation we had on last week's show about the flu vaccine in the time of COVID-19. We got a lot of great questions from listeners that our experts helped answer. Chris Brook, a professor of microbiology at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, joined us. He runs a lab dedicated to studying the influenza virus. We were also joined by Dr. Ashish John, a pediatrician with Memorial Physician Services in Springfield. A quick note before we get back to that conversation. One of our callers during the segment asked about a shortage of the high-dose flu vaccine for senior citizens. Here's Judy from Sterling.
We were told to wait to get our flu shot. We're both senior citizens, my husband and I. We're in our 70s. We were told to wait to get our flu shots until at least the beginning of October. We did that. Now, the local clinic, which is a major industry here, and the local drugstores do not have the senior flu shots. Where can we go to get one?
When Judy called live, our guests weren't aware of a shortage, but we followed up with Carle Health in Urbana. A spokesperson there said there is indeed a national shortage of the high-dose flu vaccine for those 65 and over. If your doctor says it's not available, they recommend that you go ahead and get the regular dose of the flu vaccine. So we want to thank Judy from Sterling for that question. And now, here's the rest of our conversation on the flu. Chris, I want to ask you, and this is something we've heard off and on all year in the in our sort of political discourse, but President Trump falsely tweeted, and I want to emphasize this is so false that Twitter actually flagged the president's tweet saying it's, quote, spreading misleading and potentially harmful information related to COVID-19. But he said many people every year, sometimes over 100,000 die from the flu vaccine, basically, from the flu. Are we going to close down our country? No, we've learned to live with it just like we are learning to live with COVID in most populations, far less lethal. So, Chris, even early in the pandemic, there was some discussion comparing COVID to the flu before we had learned as much as we have about COVID-19, that maybe the flu was a greater threat. But can you settle this question now, which is the more, dangerous virus to humanity at this point?
Yeah, so it's extreme. It's very clear at this point that the coronavirus, that the infection mortality rates are in the neighborhood, it depends upon age, but from up to 15 times greater than that from seasonal influenza virus. So it's absolutely clear now that this virus is much more lethal than seasonal influenza virus. And so trying to downplay that is a very dangerous statement to make.
And the PBS NewsHour last night, I saw I had a chart that, 210,000 American deaths from COVID-19 in 2020, the highest single-year death count was 61,000, and that's in the previous 5 years, typically anywhere between 20 and 60,000 from the flu. Let's go back to some of our listener questions. We got a question on our voicemail line from Denise in Aurora. Let's take a listen.
Hi, this is Denise from Aurora. How can one tell the difference between the regular flu and COVID, and how effective is the flu shot? I haven't had a flu shot in 20 years, but did get one on Tuesday. Thank you.
Okay, so Dr. John, do you want to weigh in on that? What symptoms might be people looking for in terms of the flu versus COVID, and how effective is the flu shot?
So unfortunately, you know, it's going to be difficult to tell one versus the other, especially in the beginning part of the illness, because they do share similar symptoms. So, I mean, you get fever, you get chills, you get body aches. Those are all things that we expect to see commonly, as well as, you know, runny nose, congestion, cough. So that's one of the reasons why we want to try and not muddy the water, so to speak. So that way, if we have influenza appropriately covered, then that's one less distractor from potentially picking up people that may have COVID, which, as you guys, you know, just said, is definitely the far more serious and lethal of the two conditions. Plus, we have a preventable way of dealing with influenza, which we do not currently have for COVID-19. The influenza vaccine efficacy changes year per year, because every year they usually change the components of the vaccines to best try and predict what influenza strains are going to likely be prevalent in society. I do know from last year, especially if not the years beyond, it works really well from a prevention standpoint. But what it especially did last year was, even if you did get your vaccine and you were unfortunate enough to get influenza, it was a much, much, much milder version of it that you had to go through as compared to someone that was not vaccinated, especially for kids.
We do have another, we're a little short on time, so there's another caller, Joanne in Springfield, who's just asking about, we're going to skip the call. Joanne, thank you for calling in with your question, but is there a vaccine that is supposed to be for seniors, if you can talk about that briefly?
Yeah, Chris, so there is a vaccine that's meant for seniors. It's basically the exact same thing as the regular vaccine. There's just more in it. There's just more of it. The standard vaccine is made from preparations of virus that have been killed and broken into pieces. And it's just more concentrated version of the same thing that goes to younger people.
Okay. So if you are a senior citizen going, be sure when you go to the clinic or your doctor or the drugstore to ask specifically for the senior formulation, or make sure that's what you're getting. We did get another text from John in Elgin, a frequent texter. Thank you, John, who says, I am otherwise pro-vaccine, but the only two times I've caught the flu were years I'd gotten the vaccine. Normally, I'm a robust, vigorous young man. I kind of stopped getting the vaccine and haven't gotten the flu since. If I'm wearing a mask and mostly working from home, am I a bad person if I skip the shot again this year? Chris, I wonder if you think John is a bad person for skipping.
I'm not going to judge you as a human being, but you cannot get sick from the flu vaccine. If you happen to get sick the same year as you get the vaccination, that's a coincidence. It's not coming from the vaccine, so I recommend you get it.
Okay, that's pretty clear cut then. Even if you're not going out of the house much, I mean, I guess you're still going out for groceries, probably things like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, your risk will be lower, but probably non-zero. So again, your risk of getting sick from the vaccine is zero. So
yeah, well, that can't be more clear than that. We did get another text, this one from Chris in Urbana. And I'm guessing, Chris, you did not text in a question for yourself, but said, I got a flu shot for the first time this year. I don't want to burden healthcare any more than they already are. And I hadn't really thought of flu vaccine as a herd immunity thing in the past. In some ways, I'm less worried about getting flu because I'm out with people so infrequently. I wear a mask and I have much more habitual hand washing thing going on now. But Chris, can you talk about that? The idea of herd immunity, is that something that, you know, is achievable through the flu vaccine in our society?
Yeah, so I mean, herd immunity is achievable against any virus. I want to be careful because this is a very fraught term in the context of the coronavirus, but if enough people are immune to a given virus, then there aren't enough people that can get infected by it for the virus to maintain itself in the population. Flu vaccine uptake rates aren't really high enough to do that, obviously. And so in theory, it's possible. It was done with smallpox, but it's extremely hard to do. And I just, you know, but any, you know, getting your vaccine is definitely doing your part to help lower the burden.
Yeah. And Chris, I also just briefly, you tweeted out an Economist story about the flu in the Southern Hemisphere this year and an indicator. I mean, can we make any conjectures or projections about Northern Hemisphere flu season based on what happened in countries like Argentina and Australia this past summer for us, winter for them?
Right. So what he's referencing is that this recent flu season in the Southern Hemisphere was much, much, much milder than normal, almost certainly due to the increased restrictions on contact and mask wearing and everything due to the COVID pandemic. It's very possible that we'll see something like that in the Northern Hemisphere as well. I certainly hope so. I will say that many of those countries were adopting stronger measures than we have here in the United States. But it remains to be seen, you know, I'm hopeful that the measures we're taking against COVID will also be beneficial in limiting flu infections. But yeah, again, we don't know yet.
And Dr. John, last question to you from texter PJ in Springfield, who said, had the flu shot 3 weeks ago. Question, what other recommendations in terms of additional precautions can people take as colder weather approaches? So, Dr. John, what are the best ways to protect yourself against the flu?
I mean, this is a different world that we're living in this year. So a lot of it is the same recommendations that we have been making to prevent COVID-19 for the last couple of months, for the last 6 months, are really going to be supremely helpful from an influenza standpoint. If, you know, we wear your masks, you wash your hands, you try and stay home and stay away from people that would be at a higher risk if you have any kind of sick symptoms. And if you try not to share, especially from a kid's perspective, try not to share anything to eat or drink with other children or other people, then it will significantly help reduce the chances of us, of you contracting it and also spreading it to other people if you do have it.
Yeah. And that's, I feel like we can't emphasize this enough because there's so much misunderstanding about there, but that's what the masks are about. Not keeping you from getting it, but keeping you from spreading it to other people on the way out. Dr. Ashish John is a pediatrician with Memorial Physician Services in Springfield, and Professor Chris Brook is a microbiologist at the University of Illinois in Urbana. Thank you both so much for sharing your expertise with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.